Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk the obesity epidemic, pumpkin spice lattes, and the 25th anniversary of the Mighty Ducks with actor Aaron Schwartz. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
Welcome, Fit Clubbers. What do we have on there? Lit by Kiosmos?
The Kiosmos.
Oh,
yes. Live by Running Music.
Nice. <Yeah. laughs> We're getting that good sweat for this episode of Fit Club. As always, my name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong. I'm joined by my guest co-host, Sarai.
I'm the guest co-host. I like it. I'll take it. It rhymes.
From the West Coast.
The guest co-host. Funny Sarai is on Twitter. It's FUNNYSAYRIE. And on Instagram, Funny Sarai. On Facebook, it's just Sarai. Just go ahead and like that page.
Okay.
Keep it simple. Drop the funny. Okay.
And of course, we are joined by Mr. Aaron Schwartz. Where can they find
you? What's up? Aaron Schwartz 11. That's AaronSchwartz 11. And you can get me there. It's Twitter, Instagram,
you're on
Facebook,
everything.
Tumblr.
Tinder.
That's right.
Well, thank you for joining. This is awesome. Especially like 25th anniversary of the Mighty Ducks. It's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah, tomorrow they're going to have a whole big thing at El Capitan.
Wow, time just flies.
Now, are you a huge hockey fan? I don't want to put you on the spot.
No.
But,
Unfortunately, I'm not. I was when I filmed it. Before I filmed it, I had no idea about hockey at all. And then I got really into it for a couple years and then kind of lost interest, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we got to talk a little bit about the obesity epidemic.
Yes.
You know, I guess we all know it's, you know, an issue, especially here in America. But, you know, a new study came out, and they're finding it's the highest ever. So they found that 40% of adults are suffering from obesity and 19% of youth. And, of course, when you break it down by race, it's about Hispanics, 47%, blacks around 46.8%, whites about 37.9%, and Asians 12.7%. But childhood obesity is rising, too, as well.
Yeah.
And so it's a huge issue. And when we talk about obesity, I do say that some people might be caught in this weird thing, because I think technically I'm obese based on my BMI.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah, because
they
look at your weight-to-height ratio, and they place you depending on where you fall in the number scale. So if you're over 30, you're obese. But if you have a lot of muscle but you're lean, sometimes it can mess up the BMI.
Too much muscle, then it looks like
That's crazy.
So you do have to BMI is a great metric, but at the same time, you have to be practical about it.
Nobody's looking at you. Going, you're obese.
Do you know your percentage, your body fat?
When I had it tested maybe a year ago, and I feel like I'm in the same shape. It was about 4.7, 4.8. So, you know, I just try to stay lean.
It's not too bad.
But this guy can tell us a little something about staying lean. And I guess, you know, as a child, you were a little chubby. We can say that.
Yeah.
You were fluffy and adorable.
I'll take it.
A woman. You're fluffy and adorable.
Fluffy and adorable.
And so,
I've heard fat before. Fluffy and adorable.
No problem.
And so, you know, they're mentioning things like soda taxes that might help with the fall in childhood obesity. But what was it for you that kind of made a difference?
I don't know, like, if taxing soda, I mean, they're doing it with cigarettes and they're doing it with everything. They're trying to, like, stop people from making the decision by making them broke. And it's like, I don't think that's the way to go. I think it's, you know, it's like anything. It's not to compare it to drugs, but, I mean, if somebody's an addict, they're not going to stop unless they want to stop.
Yeah.
So I think childhood obesity needs to come from the parents. The parents really need to instill in their children that this is not healthy, that this is not the way to go. And I think a lot of parents baby their kids. And I think a lot of parents want their, you know, however they were brought up. Let's say they weren't brought up well, and they like to, you know, feed them, give them food and give them candy to give them affection. And I think that's like the worst thing you can do.
That's like a babysitter
child.
when you're a child. They're like, oh, if you make it too much noise, go eat this lunch boy.
Watch TV. Just take
a lunch.
And a lot of parents take comfort if they're themselves are obese and eating with the child. So they everyone feels sort of like accepted and, you know, but it's doing a disservice to the child. But how old were you when you made a switch?
You know, when I was doing I guess I was about 8 years old when I started gaining weight. It had a lot to do with the way what was brought up. My parents didn't really feed me candy, but, you know, my mother and father were separated, and when I went to go visit my father, a lot of times he was like, eat whatever you want.
That's how dads do.
And my mom was like, you know, they were both like organic hippies when they were together, so they I mean, I grew up eating nori seaweed before it was like a,
oh, wow,
a thing.
That was like, I don't know what's the fat in that.
That was like 1987, I was eating nori seaweed, and that wasn't even a thing. So, like, I don't know how it happened, but I think throughout the divorce and through the whole thing, I was just, you know, self-medicating, I guess, as a child, eating crap. And by the time I was about 10, I was obese.
That's interesting that you said self-medicating as a child.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I guess we don't really think how food is comfort for children at a young age. Like, if they stressed out about school or tests or something like that, they may turn to Snickers.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't vocalize it.
They don't know how to vocalize it, but that is how they cope a lot of times.
That's interesting.
So I think it needs to start from when they're a kid, and kind of, I think, you know, parents really need to instill in their children that it's not healthy, and kind of create a pattern of habit for their children that carries on to when they're adults.
So were you like 15, 16, like 30, like when did you
start leaning out?
Yeah, I guess I guess naturally I started leaning out, but I still, like I sent you a picture, I still was chubby. Even a year and a half ago, I guess you could call it skinny fat. There were there were moments where I'd have like a little bit of a belly, and you know, I've got that Eastern European tire going on. And I am naturally, I would be overweight. Like, my body naturally, if I didn't eat well, it just wants to hold on to some of that good stuff, you know? And so, I mean, I guess when I was 16, 17 is when I really made the decision to eat well and work out. But it's been a long process. I'm still, I'm still fighting it, you know? I'm still trying to stay lean and be healthy and not diet to the point where it's harmful to my body. But at the same time, you know, still enjoying myself.
How important was that as a child actor? You know, fitness and staying, or was that your look? Were your agents like, no, don't get skinny?
Eat some more.
You're not going to get casted.
When,
you know?
when I was doing heavyweights, the ducks, not so much, but when I was doing heavyweights.
He's like, puff up and puffing down the lane.
They were just like, whatever you kids want. You want some Twinkies? We got more Twinkies. We're going to bring a lifetime supply of Twinkies on there. So you know, they wanted to keep us plump. But I mean, it's a decision that I kind of made through the business as well, because I thought, how many, you know, fat movies can I do? How many movies can I do about being obese? And I mean, you could have made a career though.
Yeah, was it Seth Rogen? He does well.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe I should gain weight again. All right.
You always get the lady at the end either way. Whether you're small or big, you always get the chick, you know.
As long as you're the hero.
It's rigged in your favor, you know. It's written in the script.
Well, some of the things that they do say to kind of really, I guess, help kids is obviously no fast food. And eat healthy together. Not just telling your kid to eat healthy. You know, you give them the carrots, but then you reach for something
else. Yeah, they eat the Snickers.
But eat healthy together. And so don't isolate the kids to being, like, people that eat healthy away from you. Something that I thought was really interesting was they're finding tart cherry juice might be a cure for or a help in delayed onset muscle soreness. And we were just talking about this because you walked in and you were like, oh, my legs
are
killing me.
My calves are killing me. My calves never kill me. I've just been walking a lot. I'm a New Yorker, so I've been prone to walking. And I made the decision. I was like, I'm going to start like parking my car somewhere and just walking from place to place as opposed to driving three blocks, which is an L.A. thing.
You drive
everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's taken effect on my calves.
And so do you do anything? They also looked at icing as being effective, and they did find that icing was far more effective than heat. So do you ice or do you use heat? Do you do the cryotherapy, which is really popular in Hollywood these days?
I've done cryotherapy a couple times. I wish I could do it more. But no, I ice sometimes. This morning I did ice my calves, so
and for those who don't know what it is, that's when you freeze the cryotherapy.
So you walk
freeze
in.
It, see, I know, I got it.
You walk in, they give you a liquid nitrogen. There's liquid nitrogen in, I guess, the chamber.
You stand in this chamber, and it's freezing cold, but not in an uncomfortable way. It just gets to this point where it gets uncomfortable for a second, and then you get out of there, and you feel like a $1,000,000.
But you feel like it's like a 1990s Batman movie.
Nice.
Get in the chamber.
Mr. Freeze,
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Shout out to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, right?
Now that's fitness.
So I love this whole article about delayed onset muscle soreness. And for those who don't know, really what it is, it's not the soreness you feel when you're working out. It's the soreness you get a day or two later. And it's crazy that in 2017, they're still not exactly sure why it happens. They think it might happen to, it might have something to do with repairing the muscles as they're being torn.
Yeah, it rips and then that's the way it builds.
Exactly. But people thought it might be lactic acid. But it seems like that actually goes out of your system within a few hours of working out. So they find that ice is the one thing they do know is effective, but they're not even sure the mechanism by which it works. But they knew it reduces inflammation in the body.
They just know it works.
Yeah.
And it's better than heat.
Yeah, it's better than heat. Mm-hmm. And tart cherry juice has been found to do the same thing. In a couple of studies, it reduces the inflammation, and they found that people that were on the tart cherry juice had a lot less soreness than those who weren't on it. But you have to watch the sugar.
You got to be mm-hmm. on the tart cherry. It sounds like a drug. Yeah. I'm on the tart cherry.
Give me some of that tart cherry. Give me the cherry pie.
But with everything, you got to watch the sugar. So. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's huge. Very important.
But you mean like natural cherries, though? You don't mean extract?
Tart cherry juice. And they have the ones that are concentrated, but still mm-hmm. there's going to be natural sugar in there. So if you're just downing this stuff all day, maybe you work out 4 or 5 hours, and you might gain some weight.
You gain some weight, yeah.
Is there anything dietary-wise that you had to change or switch up as you were getting older and getting fit?
Don't eat 25 chicken nuggets at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Is that a change? Or
I did that last night, so I'm not perfect. Yeah, I ran a lot today. That's another reason I was like, I can't believe I did this. Look horrible.
Do you have a regimen that you do when you feel you've eaten too much or you've kind of fallen off?
What is your guilt food?
Mental regimen I have, because I feel like, if somebody who's in shape like you, I'm getting there, and I feel like if you fall off a day or two, you're not going to really see. I mean, you'll see it, but nobody really is going to see a change.
Yeah,
as long as you just don't keep it up.
Yeah.
So I think the key is for anybody who's in really good shape, we're that way because we're kind of crazy. Yeah. You know, we kind of have this thing in our head that goes, "Oh, I can't believe I just did that." You know? And I think the trick is to not allow yourself to panic and just kind of go, well, I just ate 25 chicken nuggets.
Whoop, gotta go to work.
But I'm going to wake up the next morning, and just not do it again. I had a nice salad today from Whole Foods. I chilled. Oh, okay. I relaxed. I had my kombucha. Nice. I had an almond milk latte, not a pumpkin spice latte. And then I'm taking it easy. So I think that's key, is to kind of mentally not panic.
Nice. How important is a cheat day for you, though? Are you the type of person that needs cheat days?
I automatically take them, so I don't know if I automatically just cheat once a week,
on the weekends? How consistent is it?
I think it's about once a week. Recently, it's been like once every 2 weeks.
Oh.
So I think that's, and I could see a difference. My body has been getting better, and I think it's because I don't think a cheat day is necessary. I think if you really diet, if you really have a proper eating schedule and you really start to enjoy the way you eat. Like, I eat clean and I love eating clean because it feels good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, the chicken nuggets I had yesterday, I feel like for a week I'm going to feel like crap and I don't want to do that again. It already deterred me.
Gotcha.
So I think the trick is to really enjoy what you're eating and you don't really need a cheat day.
And that's what I always tell people. I hate the idea of a cheat meal, or if I'm eating some sort of cake, and is that your cheat meal?
Yeah.
No. Like, my diet is something I enjoy with a full palate. So nothing that I eat is a cheat because I'm not ever like going away from like my diet.
He's also a little crazy because I remember I had lunch with him a couple months back with our friend Dan and we were sitting there and there was a cake.
Just a piece of lettuce.
And Dan's grabbing like cake and cake and cake and he's like, well, don't you want a bite? And you're like, I know what that tastes like. I know that. Is it something new to me? Is it going to be like an epiphany?
It's really good if I don't eat it, and when I do have it, it's really good. And it's not a cheat to me. It's just how I'm eating.
So what are your diets? What do you mostly eat, Shaka and Aaron? Like, what are your?
I want your Shaka.
Well, for me,
he's the one with the 4% body fat, huh?
It changes because when my schedule changes and the diet changes. You know what I mean? But right now I'm waking up pretty early. I start with a protein shake. For lunch, I'm vegan, so for lunch it's going to be probably another protein shake, but like one that I buy as opposed to the one I just mix at home with the water and protein. So a tasty protein shake at lunch with also like I like to do wraps lately. I've been doing these collard green wraps from Margot and Linda's.
The wrap is the collard green.
So I have those for lunch, and then dinner I have like Beyond Meat or a Gardein. And I'll make a lot of it, and I'll make it with like a vegan, gluten-free pasta, and that's where I get some of the carbs I need for the energy. So I'll have a heavy dinner.
All those meat eaters out there think this is boring. Yeah. They're just like, that sounds horrible.
I mean, I wish you could taste it.
It's good. Yeah. It really, if you get used to it, it really is. I mean, I'm not vegan. I'm like pesco ovo, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Pesco. But
like, tell them what that is.
It's like, okay. I don't eat red meat. I normally don't eat chicken. See, I'm not very strict, so yesterday I did eat chicken, if you can call it actual chicken.
McDonald's is not real chicken.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But on average, it's like eggs, fish, and then just And no red meat, no poultry. It's just so eggs turkey. And fish is the most I would have. No turkey. On average, but I mean, yeah. I did break
every now and then. Every now and then.
But that's pretty much how I eat, and it's not boring. You can find, especially in LA and or big cities, mm-hmm. you can find easy meals.
And your taste buds change. Well, at least for me, when I went vegan, your taste buds change. They actually become a little bit more alive. They become a little bit more
mm-hmm. more sensitive to salt,
exactly, and sugar. And so mm-hmm. when you actually have good food, you taste it so much more.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
The less sugar you have in your system, the more you actually really do taste things.
You crave.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And so on that note, are you a big pumpkin spice latte fan?
The truth comes out.
I love pumpkin spice latte. I don't know how much of a fan I am, but I want to hear about this. What's going on?
Yeah, so Rai, what about you?
Well, I'm from the South, so we did, the sweet potato. So we were mostly leaned towards sweet potato pies and stuff like that. We didn't get into pumpkin so much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but even that almost got that smell spice. A little bit, right?
Yeah,
sweet potatoes got that little...
Yeah,
yeah. From the South, so everything was delicious.
Yeah, everything was good. Everything had butter and salt.
Bunch of butter,
you know,
a bunch of ice cream on the side.
Greens was out the house.
You good know? To go. So pumpkin spice. So here's what I thought was interesting about this. So it actually is like scientifically addictive, especially when it's combined with sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I find, or this article really illuminated myself to, was that pumpkin spice is really ground cinnamon, nutmeg, dried ginger, and some clover allspice. That's all it is mixed together.
So no pumpkin?
There's no pumpkin, but that's the spice that creates pumpkin spice.
Wow. Huh.
But what we get in our commercial pumpkin spice lattes, and I don't know about Starbucks in particular, but commercially they've made these chemicals to trick us, to give us the aroma of those natural ingredients. And so,
and that's what's addictive.
Sounds
and that's
right.
what's addictive, uh-huh. especially when you couple it with sugar, because all uh-huh. of a sudden it gives us that sort of feeling of, oh, this is what we're supposed to have for fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've all been anticipating this for fall, so mm-hmm. now we all have a mental tie to these pumpkin spice things.
I want
to
go get a pumpkin spice latte right now.
Yeah. I mean,
even after hearing all the fake stuff that's in it.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a strategy. You want more.
You want more.
Yeah.
And funny enough, that odor that they mimic, they mm-hmm. find that odor is about 80% of your taste. So that's why you're able to taste the pumpkin spice just by smelling it, even though it's chemicals and it's not the natural ingredients. So obviously the recommendation is to have the natural ingredients of pumpkin spice. And you can actually put it in something like a pumpkin soup or mm-hmm. vegetables. It doesn't need to be in this latte that's also coupled with sugar. So mm-hmm. if you're going to have pumpkin spice, you want it to be the natural, organic, and you want it to separate it from your sugar.
Who came up with this concoction of spice to make it addictive? Like, who came up with this...
Well,
this mixture, like
it's interesting,
you know,
getting paid a lot of money by big companies.
Yeah.
I want to say it might have originated even in India because when you have these, because they weren't putting sugar with it, so
uh-huh.
they're using it for like your chana vegetables and your beans and what have you, and so you're getting a savory taste of that pumpkin spice mixture. But when you add it to sugar, it becomes something else, a different beast altogether.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Shaka, you're so knowledgeable.
I know.
So,
how you get to the 4% body fat.
Right?
Well, I had to look into it. I'm saying, why am I addicted to pumpkin spice lattes?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And it's all about that marketing. Like, why mm-hmm. do I have this innate craving for it when I really don't know mm-hmm. what it is? Or,
uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think once you understand your cravings and why they're there, then it's easier to overcome.
To overcome it. Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, sure.
Because Starbucks was brilliant when they came out with the pumpkin spice latte in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had just a great marketing campaign. And not even they really foresaw how prevalent it would get and how, like, we'd all be tied to it.
It's like a seasonal thing that you just want. You know, like you're ready to hear the Jingle Bells music around Christmas.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
You ready to get a pumpkin spice?
Oh, yeah. And just all the images of fall are now evoked in our head. So they do say, try to separate from sugar, and you can use pumpkin spice, but on different things. You know, be experimental, be creative with it.
Yeah.
And when you do use it with vegetables or things that are not sugar, obviously you're going to get the benefits of those underlying vegetables, too. Mm.
So what's the scientific reason why I love eggnog lattes? I'm obsessed with eggnog.
Maybe it's the rum.
Oh, maybe.
You'll have to come back in December.
That's a different type of eggnog latte.
We'll get you on that one. So I want to talk a little bit more about this event tomorrow that your guys are having for the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, Disney and El Capitan Theater on Hollywood Boulevard is throwing a little Throwback Thursday screening of The Mighty Ducks. And it's going to be me and Matt Doherty, who plays Averman. We're going to be kind of promoting it and going to be there. And it's going to be a little bit of press, and it's going to be some fun games. And so if anybody's in the LA area, they should definitely come down to El Capitan Theater and tomorrow at 7 p.m.
They just go? Do they have to buy tickets? Or do they have to sign up somewhere?
I think you can go online with El Capitan, or am I saying that right? El Capitan?
Yeah.
El Capitan.
El Capitan. Say a little accent about it, right?
I think you can go online, or you could just go to the theater prior. I think the doors open at 6, so I mean, I think the screen starts at 7, so doors open at 6. I think you could just show up at El Capitan Theater on Hollywood Boulevard.
So do you get a lot of fitness questions from the Mighty Ducks fans? Because they must go...
I do. Lately, yeah. Lately I've been posting a lot more. I've been trying to get more into the fitness game. I want to go back to school and take some nutrition classes. And I really want to like get involved in the fitness world because I do get a lot of questions. And I have done it. I've gone from fat kid to an overweight young adult to now losing all the weight and kind of busting my butt. So I kind of want to share it with the world. And a lot of people have been hitting me up on Instagram and on Facebook and asking me questions. And sometimes I don't know the answer. And so I want to get into it so I can know the answer.
How often are you recognized?
Lately, a little more. It's been happening recently. Because of social media, I think I've been recognized more. But
You were on Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl I get recognized a lot for still, yeah. But, often. But not often enough. Yeah. Bring it on.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, that's actually kind of why I got into fitness. Because I was in shape, and then people kept asking me these questions I didn't know the answers to. And I was like, oh, wait, if people think I'm an expert, why don't I just become the expert?
You know? And the more research you do in it, the less you want to eat bad.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, like, to be fit, it's all it really takes is consistency. Well, I can't say that. Consistency. Uh-huh. And a plan.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Like, just... I wake up every morning, I go to the gym, I go for a run, I eat well, and that's about it. I mean, that's all it takes.
It's then discipline.
There's more things to know once you get into deeper levels of how to get fit and, you know, what muscle groups to work on, but ultimately that's the baseline, just be consistent and keep a plan.
So, like, if someone who's a novice and, like, they're a fan of yours and they go, well, how did you start? Like, how did you go from that kid? Because I think a lot of people have trouble starting. Once you're in it, you kind of start to understand. But how do you tell that person?
You need that momentum.
Yeah.
Motivate them.
I guess just you got to imagine. You got to imagine. You got to believe that it's going to happen. I mean, it can happen. If somebody's 500 pounds and it's going to take them a couple years to get to 180, it will happen. It's, ultimately, it will happen. So I think it's about imagination and just realizing that you will get there. And, you know, the first couple months, first year maybe might suck.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen. I think it's just all about just perception.
So when you say imagine, you mean visualize yourself small?
Visualize.
visualize yourself in the bikini.
Yeah, there you go.
And then by a few more months, you might be able to put two on.
And then maybe buy the bikini or do you?
Within a couple weeks or a month, you'll start seeing changes. You'll actually start seeing changes, and that's where the momentum starts kicking in. So I think you just get past that first rough area.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever do stuff like that? Maybe buy something or like have a goal in mind?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
vision
you always
board,
have
maybe?
To... I haven't done a vision board.
Vision board, okay.
I gotta do that.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of I've seen a lot of people doing it.
Like, I went to my friend's house. They had a big vision board. I was like, all right, this is cool.
Because last year around this time, I said I want to be a part of Black Hollywood Live.
It worked.
Today, it was on the vision board. Boom.
Yeah, it was the same thing. I wanted to be a guest on this.
See, you gotta put it on your vision board, David.
What are you working on currently?
Right now, I just finished a film called The Bone Box, which is a horror film, and it was my first bad guy role, which I was really
I love how you
excited.
Dropped your eyebrows when you said bad guy. It's my bad guy role.
That's a bad guy face,
Bad guy.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved playing roles like that, and it was something that I just enjoyed it thoroughly. So that I just finished. I'm in the process of writing a short that I'm hoping to film within the next couple months, so... Staying busy, and working out, and doing chicken nuggets at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, how are you balancing that when you're shooting or filming or auditioning and traveling? How are you balancing that?
I got a little planner in my phone and
like an app or like just you have a written.
Oh, I just have it in my phone. Nice. I actually have it in my phone and on an actual planner that I have to write in because I'm old school. Sometimes I forget that it's there and I need that as well. But just plan it out.
Staying prepared.
Staying prepared.
Nice.
Very cool. I just want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
This is amazing. So again, where is it going to be? El Capitan Theater?
El Capitan Theater, Hollywood Boulevard, 6 p.m. doors open, 7 p.m. is the screening.
Mm. Awesome. I have a question for you. What is your favorite movie you've been in? Because it was entertainment for all, for us as kids, for sure. What is your favorite movie?
I think Heavyweights. I love the Mighty Ducks, and I know the Ducks is a classic. And I actually just saw it a couple months ago. A friend of mine really wanted to watch it, and I watched it with them. And
is that weird for you?
It was a little weird.
Or do you have a bad cheat day and then you go? And then I want to watch Heavyweights. And then I want to go back to the gym.
I'm doing better.
After you ate the nuggets, you put on Heavyweights.
Exactly. Like, okay, we're going to go run tomorrow.
I mean, I love it. I mean, that was Judd Apatow's first movie, and you could see his kind of stamp on it. And it's
that was his first movie.
Yeah, it was his first movie that he wrote and produced. And I loved it. I love watching it. I actually, like, when I watched it, I kind of took myself out of it for a second. I didn't realize that was me.
Yeah.
Or I did, but I just kind of, like, I separated myself and watched it for it being the film that it is.
Yeah.
And I thought it was genius.
And you thought you nailed it.
And then I had the award-winning scene right there.
That's so cool. And, you know, I know that has to be interesting being an adult, but still watching your child self. Like, even when I go through photo albums and see pictures of myself, it seems like, who is that chick? So I can only imagine if I'm talking and saying lines. It's like a piece of your history.
It's fun. I mean, ultimately, I hate watching myself.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm a kid, because I'm just like, why did I make that choice right there? But it's fun because I get to remember the scenes. I remember shooting a lot of the scenes and the stuff that was happening behind the scenes. So as I'm watching a scene,
I remember all that came along with it.
Cut, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And you had no idea at the time of, like, I guess, the iconic movie it would become.
Yeah, The Mighty Ducks for sure now. Yeah. I mean, The Mighty Ducks, we had no idea. We thought it was... I mean, all films, no matter how big they are. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy I filmed.
Then you know that.
That was a fun thing to be part of. But, I mean, even then, you have a $200 million budget, and movies are just thrown together.
Yeah.
I mean, even when it's a huge budget, things are not organized.
Yeah, we've seen some things fall flat. Yeah. Huge budgets,
Yeah, things are not organized. People don't know. They're piecing it together. They're going to fix it in post. They're going to do things. So it's like... Nothing. When you're in it, you don't really realize the magnitude of what it becomes to an audience.
Yeah. You weren't the lead in Geely, which is like a great thing. You know that Ben Affleck.
I would have taken that. That was underrated. Geely was awesome.
That felt so bad. Oh my god.
How was it being a child actor? Were they always people taking pictures of you? How was fame I won't say adolescence, but
I lived in New York, so I took public transportation when I was a kid.
Oh.
And there was a couple months after it was released that I couldn't take public transportation, which was, at first I was like, yes.
Were you interested in girls? Were you interested in girls at that age? Really?
Oh, yeah. But you were young, right?
Like, 10?
I was like 13, 14.
You should have said, ew, yucky, girl.
But I mean, I wasn't good with girls.
Oh, okay.
I was a little chubby kid, and even though I was in all these movies, But, I mean, I loved it until, like, maybe a couple weeks after. I was like, okay, I really want to take the bus again. But, you know, now that I've gotten older, I'm like, I want that again.
You want to get back famous,
I don't want to be able to take a bus.
I think it's so interesting because I feel like in the social media age, if that movie came out today and had the same resonance, like, all of a sudden, you would never be able to go outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's true. I feel like now stars are really able to get their word out and their voice out with social media and, like, stay out and stay present.
So something as simple as it being on Netflix would just revamp everything.
Yeah.
Because all that whole new generation will watch that and be like, oh my God, we love this.
Yeah, I know. There's so many like platforms out there too for things to get out. So
are they on Netflix now?
Yeah, both of them are Netflix.
Oh, Mighty Ducks is on Netflix?
Mighty Ducks and Heavyweights
on Netflix. Yeah, I've got my evening plan. Yeah, I got my night.
And Hulu.
I think
so.
Really?
Yeah.
I usually peruse. That's my fancy word for the day.
I like that.
I peruse.
SAT's coming.
Yeah. I usually look through the family and, you know, section on Netflix, but I've never seen it yet.
Maybe I'm wrong. Netflix, get it on there.
Yeah. Well, we'll be checking tonight for sure.
Yeah.
I just noticed that this was Fit Club, was like the Fight Club. So
yeah, that's it. You have entered the Fit Club, my friend.
Well, again, I was wondering why I look so familiar. You're right.
Again, my friend, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
We learned a lot. Guys, again, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong. Where can they find you?
And I am Funny Sarai on, forget about the funny, but anyways, on Twitter and On Twitter and Instagram, it's FUNNYSAYRIE. This helps me remember. And on Facebook, it's Sarai, SAYRIE.
Mr. Schwartz.
And I'm Aaron Schwartz, and you can find me at 2 a.m. eating 25 chicken nuggets yes. in my house under the. No, Aaron Schwartz 11, at Aaron Schwartz 11 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Got
it. Thank you.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.